Last week we began our Advent preaching series, Why Christmas, as we're looking at four biblical reasons why Jesus came into the world and why we celebrate Christmas. And Rachel Johnson did an excellent job of sharing how we know so much more about God because Jesus came. And the attributes we see in Jesus, we understand God so much better. Today we look at another reason why we should celebrate Christmas, and that is that Jesus redefines for us what love truly is. We celebrate Christmas because of Jesus who demonstrated love and redefined it for us. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, but before we get there, I want you to consider this. As we begin, I think we can all agree that Christmas is a whole lot more today than it was 2,000 years ago. But did you know that the early church didn't celebrate Christmas? The early Christians did not celebrate Christmas for the first 300 years of the church existence because the birth of Jesus was not considered a special occasion. And they generally didn't celebrate birthdays anyway. That was considered to be something the pagans did. And so celebrating Jesus' birth just wasn't something that the early Christians decided to do. They focused more on holidays like Easter, which celebrated Jesus' death and resurrection. The celebration of Christmas on December 25th actually began to be established in the 4th century and became a major Christian festival soon after that. And today, though, Christmas is a whole lot more. In fact, there are places that are seemingly celebrating Christmas all year long, and certainly seems headed that way right here in our own country. But what is celebrated as Christmas for months on end is not connected to why we should celebrate Christmas. Because of Christmas, we know God better, as Rachel shared with us last week. Without the incarnation, without Jesus coming to earth, taking on human flesh, we would struggle to know what God is like. But because he is the exact representation of the Father, we do know what God is like because of Christmas. But there's a second reason, too. And it focuses on why Jesus came to earth. And so let's consider our text from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And we find these words in that epistle. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Who doesn't love an amazing love story? I think it was back in October that my wife started watching the Hallmark Channel with all the Christmas love stories. And they all end the same way, with a very happy ending. And she would watch these day after day. And I'd come home and I'm thinking, didn't I see this one yesterday or the day before? Because they all seem very similar. If you think Christmas is big business in America, love is even bigger. And Christmas, at its very core, is the greatest love story ever told. Our first point this morning, if you're filling in the blanks, as to why we celebrate Christmas, is that Jesus came to show us that we are loved. Jesus came into this world to show us that we are loved by Almighty God. Love brought Jesus to earth. Love compelled him to set aside his divinity and take on human flesh. Jesus came to reveal what God is like, absolutely. And the most overwhelming attribute of God is love. We learn that in 1 John 4:8, the verse just before the ones we read, which says that God is love. And our beloved John 3:16 begins with what? For God so loved the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We're celebrating this wonderful truth that God loves us. God loves us. The Christmas story is God's greatest expression of his love for us. He sent his Son, Jesus. Think about it. Think about it for a moment. Put yourself in God's place for just a moment. Your creation, male and female, made in your image with the breath of life from God, are so sinful and so fallen that many won't even acknowledge their Creator. And if you and me were in that position, we look upon our creation and we see how unhuman and how cruel and how evil and hateful our beloved creation has become, we would probably push the reset button, start all over again. But God doesn't. He could have wiped the slate clean, started all over, could have made a new world with new humans made in His image, not tarnished with sin, but He didn't do that. Why? Because we are loved. The nature of God is love. The story of Christmas is not history. It is His story. It's His story. And what I love about the Christmas story is how the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God interacts with His beloved creation. The story of the first Christmas is filled with miracles, one miracle after another. An unknown peasant girl who finds favor with God, brought into the great story of God. Shepherds very low on the social ladder hear the angel's pronouncement of the Messiah's birth, and they hear the heavenly choir. Bethlehem, a two-bit town outside of Jerusalem, becomes center stage for the greatest moment in His story. God, all-powerful, always existing, coming to earth in the form of a helpless infant child. The holy comes to the hurting. The Lord lives among the lost. The Almighty God now becomes bound by time and space. The miracle of creation in Genesis 1 is reflected again in the miracle of our Savior's birth. It's all about God, for God so loved the world. It's the greatest love story of all. He looked upon the sin-riddled world, and instead of holding back His best because of our sin, He sent His best. I think Jesus' birth and His life redefines love for us. For God so loved the world. We are the focus of God's love. Max Lucado, in his book, John 3:16, shares this story, and you farmers among us are going to like this one. A cow stuck her nose into a paint can and couldn't shake it off. Can-nosed cows can't breathe well, they can't eat or drink. This cow was in danger. The farmer and his family set out to help. But when the cow saw the rescuers coming, she set out for pasture. They pursued, but the cow escaped. They chased the cow for 3 days. Each time the posse drew near, the cow ran. Finally, using pickup trucks and ropes, they cornered and decanned the cow. Max adds, "Seen any can-nosed people lately? You know, malnourished souls, dehydrated hearts, people who can't take a deep breath, all because they stuck their noses where they shouldn't. And God came to help, and they ran away." When billions of us imitate the cow, chaos erupts. Nations of bull-headed people ducking God and bumping into each other. We scamper, we starve, we struggle. Can-nosed craziness. That's what God sees when He looks at the world. Yet this is the world that God loves. This hard-hearted, stiff-necked world. We stick our noses where we shouldn't, and He still pursues us. We run from the very one who can help. But He doesn't give up. He loves, He pursues, He persists. And He comes from heaven to earth to do for each of us some serious decanning. For God so loved the world. Do you know that the word for love that's used in John 3:16 is the Greek word agape? And there's a number of Greek words for love, but it's like the New Testament writers virtually coined this word to describe the love that God has for us that is most clearly shown in Jesus Christ. Agape love is a sacrificial love. It's not a love based on feeling or emotion. It's an action-based love. For God so agaped the world. For God so loved the world. We know it when we see it. When I was regional director for the Churches of God, one of our retired pastors had a stroke. And the stroke left him bedridden. He and his wife had been married for close to 60 years, and they were inseparable. Billy and Grace, so much in love, agape love. Well, Grace took Billy home, put in a hospital bed in her parlor, and slept on the couch and began to take care of Pastor Billy. I came often to visit as they were very influential people to me. In fact, Grace called me her third son. That's how important they were to me. After a year, Billy was getting worse. After 2 years, he was to the point where he was totally dependent on her. She fed him, she bathed him, she cared for him, and rarely left the house. She agaped him until 3 years after the stroke, the Lord finally called him home. Agape love. We know it when we see it. We know it when we see it. Max Lucado shares the story of a father who, out of love for his son, spends each night in a recliner, never sleeping more than a couple of consecutive hours. A car accident had paralyzed his teenage son. To maintain the boy's circulation, therapists would massage his limbs every few hours. At night, the father took the place of the therapist. And though he had worked all day and he would work the very next day, he set the alarm to wake himself every other hour until sunrise to massage his son's limbs. That's agape love. That is agape love. We know it when we see it, and we can't read the Christmas story and not see the amazing agape love of God. Ephesians chapter 3, 18 and 19, and the Message reads this way. Take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, live in the fullness of God. Mark it down, friends. God loves you with an agape love. You can't win it by being winsome, and you can't lose it by being a loser. But you can be blind enough to resist it. But for heaven's sakes, don't. Don't resist the agape love most clearly shown to us through the birth of Jesus Christ. There's a second point we need to make as well. Yes, Jesus redefines love for us, but also Jesus' birth reminds us that we are not forgotten. That we are not forgotten. How quick we are to forget that God cares for us. The people of Jesus' day had forgotten that God had cared for them. They were living under Roman rule, living under the oppression of the Romans. They hadn't heard from God in years. 400 years, there's been silence. There's been no prophet in the land, no one saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They believed God had forgotten them. Life was hard. And so they thought, God doesn't care anymore. But it all changed that first Christmas. Why Christmas? Because Jesus' birth reminds us that we are loved, but also that we are not forgotten. We are the focus of God's love. Over 2,000 years ago, a peasant girl from Nazareth, engaged to a man named Joseph, was visited by an angel. And the angel told her that she had found favor with God and she'd give birth to a son, conceived miraculously by the hand of God. And her son would be the Son of the Most High. She would give birth to the Savior. And that Savior is for the world and for you and for me. And to think that it all happened in an instant. What would you do what Jesus did? Think about what Jesus did for a moment. He swapped a spotless castle for a grimy stable. He exchanged the worship of angels for the company of killers. He could hold the universe in his hand, but he gave it all up to float in the womb of a maiden. If you were God, would you sleep on straw in a manger, clothed in a diaper? I wouldn't, but Jesus did. He humbled himself from commanding angels to sleeping in a common feeding trough, from holding stars in his hands to clutching the finger of Mary. The palm that held the universe would take the nail of a soldier. Why? Because God so loved the world. He redefines love for us, and he goes the distance to show us that you are not forgotten, that God hasn't given up on this world despite its evilness and sinfulness and brokenness. We're not forgotten. And think about it. At any point along the way, he could have called it quits. At the sight of the womb or the smell of the stable, he could have said thanks, but no thanks. The first time he scraped his knee or blew his nose or tasted burnt bagels, he could have turned and walked out. When he saw the dirt floor of his Nazareth home, or when Joseph gave him a chore to do, at any point Jesus could have said, that's it. That's enough. I'm going home. But he didn't. He stayed because he is love, and he has not forgotten his beloved creation. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you and me. Friends, when you read John 3:16, put your name in there for that phrase, the world. For God so loved Kevin. For God so loved Joe. For God so loved Mary. Some of you remember the Christmas special. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas. Poor Charlie Brown couldn't get into the Christmas spirit. He's asked to direct the Christmas program. That doesn't help. He doesn't pick the right Christmas tree, and even Snoopy is laughing at him in frustration. And in frustration, he cries out, you know, doesn't anyone know what Christmas is all about? And Linus saves the day as he goes to the center stage and he shares the Christmas story. For me, I can pass on It's a Wonderful Life. I don't need to watch Home Alone or A Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation. A Charlie Brown Christmas does it for me because it gets the message correct. It's a story of Christmas simply told and always remembered. That's what Christmas is all about, Linus says. Charlie Brown, that's what Christmas is all about. Why Christmas? Because we are loved. We're not forgotten. And that, my friends, is worth celebrating every day. I want you to listen again to our text this morning, this time from The Message. It's a modern translation by Eugene Peterson. Again, 1 John 4, 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Next week, we'll look at yet another reason why we celebrate Christmas, as Jesus in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, clearly states his purpose for coming to earth. And I'll give you a heads up. Next Sunday's message, it involves you and me again. Involves you and me. We're part of the reason that Jesus came to earth, part of the reason we celebrate Christmas. But as we close today, let me give you a couple takeaways. First, let me challenge you to live in the Christmas story this Advent season. Live in the Christmas story. Read Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 and John chapter 1. Read them over and over again. Read them in a different translation each week. Live in the Christmas story. Allow the mystery and the wonder of that first Christmas to capture your heart again. Come and be blessed as you live in the Christmas story. A second takeaway is allow the love of God to be evident in your life this Christmas season. You know, December can be a very trying month for many people. Depression and suicide rates rise every year at this time. Christmas can be hard if a loved one is suddenly gone, or money is tight, or your health is failing. But friends, don't allow the circumstances to rob you of the love of God. People are watching you now more than ever to see how much Christ and his birth really means to you. So don't be a negative Nelly. Don't be a grumpy Gus. Be like the shepherds who woke up the sleepy town of Bethlehem with the good news celebrating the birth of Jesus. And lastly, make the effort to help those that are far from God come to know God and be a miracle this Christmas. More than simply pray for them, invite them. Invite them to the journey to the Nativity Saturday evening, or invite them to Christmas Eve service, or invite them to hear for Sunday morning. We need to be engaged with those who the Lord misses the most. And invite them here to be among God's people and hear the wonderful news of God's love. I remember one Advent when I was preaching at the church I served in Harrisburg. that I was preaching a message about getting ready for Christmas. And as I was preaching the message, I was putting together an artificial tree. And I put the tree together, and I fluffed the branches, and I strung the lights. And I'm doing this while preaching a sermon. It was a very difficult task. Don't ask me to do it again. I'm not that gifted anymore. But after the end of the message, I had this tree. It had lights on it. It had a garland or two on it. And it was put together. It was fluffed. And prior to the service, and each person that came in, we gave them a paper ornament. At the end of the service, I said, I want you to write the name of someone who you know is far from God, who needs to know the miracle of Christmas, who needs to come to Christ this Christmas. Write their name on that ornament and come and put it on this tree. And we decorated a tree with the names of people who were far from God, that we were praying for and ideally reaching out and saying, hey, why don't you come be a part of what God is doing here at His church? I suspect we all know someone who is far from God, who needs to experience the miracle of Christ's birth through a born-again experience. So maybe the journey to the Nativity Saturday night is that moment for them. Extend an invitation to them. Or maybe a Sunday morning service or a Christmas Eve service. Invite them, hey, don't you come and be a part of a special service here at Mechanic Grove. Let's do whatever we can to bring God to those that He misses the most. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that what our desire is for everyone, to be reconciled to God? Aren't we called to be His ambassadors? And we have this great season of Advent where people are more open to the good news of Jesus Christ. When people are longing for fellowship, longing to see and know and believe in God. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Next week, we'll look at yet another reason why we celebrate Christmas with friends. Let us not miss the opportunities God has us for us right now and this coming week. We have good news to share. May we be ambassadors of God's love, His agape love, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the good news that Christ came into the world and redefines love for us, that we understand what love is because of Jesus, who willingly gave His life on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. You've called us, Lord, to be ambassadors for Christ, to help everyone we know to be reconciled to God. So, Father, may that love that is redefined by Jesus spur us on in this Advent season to reach to those who are far from You. May we truly be ambassadors for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.